Hey, welcome, friends. This is Richard from Lost Arts Radio. We're here with Dr. Gabriel Cousins in the midst of a very dramatic setting in the world where the forces of darkness are lined up against the forces of light and peace and disclosure against total war. And most of the population is feeling quite helpless to change the danger that we're in. And Dr. Cousins wants to talk about what you can do in terms of augmenting your own capabilities, taking care of your brain and body, and becoming more powerful in the force for light to take over into a new golden age. So this should be totally relevant to what we're experiencing. Welcome, Dr. Cousins, and thanks for the inspiration.
Okay, you stated very well, Richard. Thank you. So what I like to do is dance to get the spiritual joy going in a world that's kind of like feeling desperate. So we're going to dance for a few minutes, and I ask you all, invite you all to participate in that. So let's do it. Quietly, just for a moment, and then we'll talk. You Okay. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, all with love. And thank you for attending as we try to look at how to deal with all that's going on in the world. Now, today we're going to take a slightly different approach, is that so much is going on in the world that people generally seem to be mind-boggled. It's like mentally overwhelmed, mentally confused, lots of toxins in the food, toxins in the air, lots of stress that goes on. So people's minds and brains really are not working so well, and that makes people much more susceptible to being controlled. And that's definitely part of what's going on. We know that is certainly part of the forced vaccination type, bioweapon injection. It did at least 50% of the people have mental confusion, decreased mental functioning, as well as depression. So none of this is exactly an accident. So today, coming from more my orthomolecular psychiatry point of view, I'm going to talk a little bit about how we can build up brain function. Now, there's some fairly simple ways to go about it. One of the most easiest ways is fasting. The research shows that when people fast for at least 3 days, that we find, we have the spiritual fasting retreats. There is one coming up in the Dominican Republic on June 1st. And you can go to that website there, drcousinsspiritualfast.com, and check it out, sign up for it, and so forth. So, but fasting is very, very, very good for clearing the mind, getting the toxins out of the brain, and literally glowing the brain. So there, after fasting, there's about a 1% increase in brain size. Well, that's a pretty good start. Okay, that's a pretty good deal. So that's one very, very good way to do it. Like a 1 week fast twice a year. Now, another thing that's really, really good is exercise. The research shows that when people exercise, 20 minutes to 30 minutes, a few times, four times a week, there is also an increase in brain size and brain function, as well as brain oxygenization. So that's, again, a very, very important thing. Now, the third thing that increases brain size and brain function is meditation. And again, you get about a 1% increase in brain size. Now, what are we talking about? When we talk about increased brain size, we're talking about increased neurons. Now, I don't mean just neuron activation, which does happen, but growth of new neurons. Neurons are brain cells. So we have a few ways now. Okay, think about it. Okay, we have fasting. We have exercising. And we have meditating as ways to increase brain function and size, literally size. So those are some of basic things. Now, one of the things that decreases brain function is a normal tendency to brain inflammation. We have these cells, well, the brain generally tends to inflame with age, increasing inflammation. And we have these cells called glia cells, and they their main job is to repair brain neurons when they're working at their more optimal function. But with age, after the age of 60, they begin to have a tendency to not function as well and actually tend to increase, as they get inflamed, in the brain, increase brain inflammation. So we'll look at ways to make a difference. How do we reverse this process? Well, everything I just explained to you, exercise, juice fasting or water fasting, meditation, all are pretty specific for reversing this inflammatory process that in essence is shrinking the brain. Okay. So those are basics. They don't cost you anything, and they really, are the basics that have worked for thousands of years. This is why people do these things for so many years. Now, as I begin to study kind of other ways to go about it, how to reverse this degenerating brain inflammation, brain neurons degenerating, and also the inflammation. It turns out that there are some supplements that can also make a difference. They're not a, how I put it, they're not a substitute for doing these other things, but they do add to the process. That's the important thing. Now, I'm going to also say that depression tends to shrink and weaken the brain function, whereas a sense of well-being and happiness tends to expand brain size and function. So that's another piece to this story. You know, these are natural ways of living that I've been talking about. But there are some supplements. And one of those supplements is called Alpha-GPC. Now, pretty much, not that I'm advertising, but we carry it at Dr. Cousins Global, pretty much all these supplements. But Alpha-GPC increases a very important neurotransmitter called acetylcholine. And it's what is the messenger between the cells that improves brain function, brain clarity, brain memory, and better communication between the neurons. So that's what goes on there. And it also increases growth hormone. Now, I want to just say something, that fasting also increases growth hormone, which is really positive. And it also increases what we call neural growth hormone, BNDA, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And these also increase brain size and brain function and increase neurological cell growth and activates the stems, the neuron stem cells. So we really have ways to start making a difference here in this bigger picture. So that's the exciting thing, that, you know, we have options to begin getting better brain function in spite of all the toxins, mental toxins, and physical toxins that are being thrown at us. And you know, with Kennedy in now, he's getting a lot of these additives and toxins. We're trying to get them out of the food, which is good. There's only two countries in the world that tend to be putting a lot of these toxins in the food. That's New Zealand, which is surprising, and the U.S. So that's a really, really important thing. So, with the fasting, but the alpha GPC, we have a way to increase acetylcholine, which is, as they say, an extremely, extremely important neurotransmitter in the brain, one of the main ones that really make it work a lot better. Now, there is another supplement. These are all supplements. Phosphatidylserine. And it's not what a lot of people know about, but it can decrease brain age by up to 12 years. And again, it activates neuron function and creates overall better brain function. So those are two big players in the thing. Now, I mentioned brain-derived neurotrophic factor, and there is a coffee seed extract that specifically stimulates brain growth. Okay, it's actual coffee seed. You know, and it's an extract from that is specifically been found to grow. There is a supplement out there called caffeophenol, and I need to start carrying it in our pharmacy. But I think it's another kind of breakthrough of concentrating these super nutrients for the brain to stimulate brain function. Now, one that I've just been studying or just been hearing about is methylene blue. That's kind of a new thing today. I don't know if it's new. I'm just hearing about it, but people have been doing it more publicly for a few years. And it seems to stimulate all aspects of brain functioning, methylene blue, and it's available commercially. I have not used it. I'm not really an expert with it, but it's got some pretty good reviews. And it turns out that Kennedy, the head of the health department, does use it for his own brain function. So, and he's pretty cautious about these things. Now, what are the great brain foods? Is blueberries. Blueberries. I like blueberries. They're really good. but blueberries decrease free radicals. They're very strong antioxidants. And they also decrease what we call brain rust, which is a rustic term, so to speak, for brain oxidization. And it has to do with some of the iron in the brain. So as antioxidants, they neutralize the brain rust. Oxidants are destructive biochemical effects. And iron actually in the brain, an excess of iron can gets oxidized and definitely can create brain degeneration. This is more so for women, particularly after they stop menstruating, because then they're not being protected by the loss of blood, And so the iron tends to build up in the brain. So that's an important kind of issue there. So the blueberries help. And of course, I think they're good for everyone. They have lots of good qualities. They have a stilbene in them, which is a super antioxidant, along with the blueberry anti-free radical effects. Now, another one is Bacopa Mauduri, which is really from, it's an herb from India, and we used a lot in India for brain overall improvement of brain function. So Bacopa is a really good one. In India, it's called Brahmi. That was the term that was used. And again, for brain function. Now, a very common thing is lecithin. And lecithin has been shown to decrease senior moments by up to 50%. So it's not a lot, maybe about 100 milligrams of lecithin that seems to be effective in terms of brain function. It decreases fat buildup in the brain, and it's a coating for the neuron fibers, okay, that reach out from the neurons, axons and so forth. And so it coats the nerves. It's like a layer of protection around the nerves. So generally, lecithin is really, really good to take and to use. A classic is ginkgo biloba. And along with that, what elephants take, gotu-kola. Elephants have very good memories. They eat lots of gotu-kola. So ginkgo biloba, it increases blood flow and oxygen to the brain. It also helps untangle what we call nerve tangles. And this is something that is generally good. It's pretty, ginkgo and gotu-kola pretty much in a lot of brain combinations for improving brain function and brain oxygenation and also brain size. So they're really good ones. Now, there's a few minerals that make a difference. Calcium is one that gets used in all these combinations. And phosphorus, which is also in the nerves, and it's very good for repairing brain cell membranes, really all cell membranes. So the wiring of the nerves is good. And then another one, the last big one I'm going to mention, is acetyl L-carnitine, which repairs the mitochondria, which are the energy factories in the brain. So I'm just giving you a whole list, and there's more, but I think the key is those are kind of the main players as we look about what to do. So I think it's important not to just focus on the supplements, but focus on the lifestyle. Because ultimately, the lifestyle plays a bigger role in brain function. Research shows that people who are meditating for at least 5 years have a brain physiology is up to 15 years younger. So you can put that, you know, in perspective then. Is that, again, the lifestyle also oxygenation to the brain. So pranayama, breathing exercises, is another thing that is really important. It's something I do every day or 5 days a week. And it's good for many aspects of your function, but it's, you know, it's clearly good for oxygenating the brain. Okay. Now, deep breathing is a very real thing. And there are a thing called oximeters that you can put on your finger and it'll tell you how much oxygen you have in your blood. And you can pretty much bring yourself up to 99 or 100% oxygen when you are doing these breathing exercises. So if you're doing them even once a day, you're stimulating that whole oxygen process. So what I'm going back, what I'm emphasizing in this picture is the importance of meditating, exercising, breathing, you know, to get your oxygenation. Okay, and these are important, and the supplementations are an additional thing. So this is how I kind of, you know, look at the whole thing, is it's an organic process, you know. We have to exercise, we have to meditate, we have to kind of do things that are going to stimulate that brain function. So I'm going to ask Richard if he anything he wants to add to this or any questions.
One thing I'd like to say about that, Gabriel, is that I found the main elements that you mentioned are the exact same ones that I found: fasting, exercise, and meditation. A lot of people have, since there's been all this talk about self-assembling nanobot technology from the shots and from geoengineering and other sources, are talking about using EDTA for removing excess metals and dissolving nanobots. But the problem is it takes away all the minerals. And there's really no way to know what it's taking out. So what's your feeling about EDTA use?
Well, I don't use EDTA. I know people use it. And then, you know, it's more of a medical procedure. It's usually, you can do it orally, I guess, but traditionally it's intravenous. So you have to go to a doctor. That's a whole other level of things. And then there has to be replacement of what gets drawn out, all the good minerals that get drawn out. So to do it right is a whole medical procedure, and that's why I don't do it, because you don't really need to do it. You know, God gave us exercise and meditating, you know, and fasting. We're given the gift, and it doesn't cost anything. So that's my take on it. And also, it's not a good idea to do that too often, because you end up taking too many minerals out of the system. You're not necessarily replacing them all. So sometimes people will do a lot of EDTA intravenously. Again, it is orally available too. Can get depleted. So I don't really recommend it unless we're looking at a person with severe atherosclerosis, and it does take the plaque out of the system. It helps clean the arteries.
What about fasting for people that are underweight and unable to use nutrition?
Well, I'm making a pun, but they need to wait before they fast. Okay? But they can exercise. They can do breathing exercises. You know, they can do physical exercises. They can do breathing exercises. They can meditate. All we're taking out is one piece, which is the meditating, that is the fasting. So I don't recommend people who are 20 pounds underweight to fast. You know, people who are, you know, 15 pounds underweight, what, you know, it's relatively safe for like a week. But generally, if you're 20 pounds underweight, then I do not recommend you do fasting because you're already depleted.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Those are good questions. So thank you for asking.
Yeah, it comes up a lot because fasting is famous for saving people from cancer. And a lot of those cancer patients are dealing with being underweight.
Well, we're talking a few different things here, okay? You know, I'm talking about building your brain and rejuvenating, right? And if you're fasting for cancer, you're talking about a life-threatening situation. And so it would make sense to fast even if you're already underweight, unless you're way underweight, just because it's a risk, you know, you have to balance the risk versus the advantages. So, you know, it's not as easy when you're talking about it that way, but when you're just talking about for a health practice, if you're really underweight, I don't recommend it if you're 20 pounds over, but if you're fat, if you have cancer, then you have a life-threatening situation. So, and we know that in many instances, particularly with the blood cancers, it can really make a big difference to fast.
Right. Now, you brought up another aspect of this whole thing, brain degeneration related to aging.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I've been talking about.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and people going into their 60s, that's when the microglia begin to get inflamed. That's when we have to pay more attention to all of this. And in today's world, with all the toxins, that brain degeneration and that senility is happening at earlier and earlier times.
Right. Maybe it seems to be some kind of a programmed dysfunction because time itself is not toxic, right? So what is it about aging that makes those things start happening?
Well, the real question is, what is it people who are 100 years old where it hasn't happened? Right? It's like, why is happening with some people and not others?
Right.
And it, because that's important to understand. I think when you do the whole story of a healthy diet and, you know, the exercise and the meditating and a variety of things besides your own constitution, then there's a division as to what happens to you when you're 60 and older. So I think there's a lot we can naturally do to maintain and build brain health so we're not affected by that. But, which is your question, which is a good question, so around 60, it catches up with you. The inflammation becomes greater than your anti-inflammation forces in the body.
There's a difference in the balance signals that are being sent out by the brain, right?
Right. And the inflammation forces, the microglia, which are usually keeping anti-inflammation, begin to not work as well. And when they don't work as well, they move into becoming inflammatory. And all the supplements I mentioned help rehabilitate the microglia and make them go back to their normal function and, you know, shift the gene balance so that their normal function is restored. So I think that that is my answer to it, is that all the supplements I mentioned are affecting the microglia, making them anti-inflammatory rather than inflammatory. So as the microglia age, this is the physiology, this is the neurology physiology, around 60, they stop protecting you from inflammation and they themselves become more inflammatory.
So basically by the lifestyle improvement, you're changing the age, the time at which aging takes place.
Yes. But I'm going to use the word inflammation when I'm talking about the brain. I'm trying to make a more subtle point that we're dealing with brain inflammation. So you're going to eat inflammatory foods, you're going to eat meat, fish, chicken, dairy, you're going to inflame the brain, okay? That's an example. You're going to do a vegan diet, you're going to significantly decrease brain inflammation. You see where I'm trying to go with that?
Yeah.
And it's a lifestyle thing that really makes a difference here, what I'm trying to say.
Right. So ideally, is the idea that this change would never take place and you just be healthy until you die?
Well, that's the way it used to be. I'm going to note that Sheila, it's a good number, 108. I'll have to look that up because I have just begun to study methylene blue. I'm not necessarily recommending it. I'm just saying a lot of people are recommending it. So Sayer G Substack. Okay, thanks. If you could send it to me, or Doug, if you could make sure I get that, if you could help me with that, because I can't do it while we're talking here, that would be great. Doug, you there? Okay. Anyway, Sheila, if you want to, if you can just...
No problem, yeah.
Yeah, that would be good because that's really important because I need to understand this methylene blue thing.
Yeah, methylene blue was one of the earliest pharmaceutical drugs from more than 100 years ago. And it was originally provided as an antimicrobial or antibiotic in the
early stage. It's an antibiotic. It's an antibiotic.
Right. And I think it was, I'm not sure how it was discovered. Because originally it was just used as a dye.
Right. But I'm just researching it, you know. I don't know. And I'm very glad that Sheila sent that article. Thank you. So these are kind of the issues, you know. We have to be really aware. Everything has its pluses and negatives. I'm not too hot about taking something like methylene blue. I mean, the different supplements, they're in our foods, they're in our, you know, like the alpha-GPC, you know, they're all in the foods. To get it at certain concentrated amounts, you need a little bit, you know, more, you know. So, but what I am speaking to is what's affecting a lot of people today. Their brains are not working as well. And the thinking isn't as clear as it used to be for people the same age, even 10 years ago. There's a lot of people feeling very muddled in the brain. It's a combination of a variety of factors, environmental, EMFs, lots of things going on. And so we're under a kind of a massive kind of a brain suppressive attack. And I happen to be a little bit, maybe, I don't think it's happening by accident, is what I'm saying. You know, I think there are industrial needs and there's economic needs, but there's also, it's very clear that these things decrease people's brain function and then make people more susceptible to being suggested. You wonder, why do people follow these things that they've been doing, you know, here, there, this, that. And it's like, part of it is that people's brains aren't working so well. So they are more amenable and more suggestible to be controlled, you know, what they call the mass psychosis type of thing that they've been talking about with the COVID, for example. So there are a lot of things interrelated. I'm taking it from, like, how do we make our brain work better? But I'm not ignoring, there's reasons why we're asking the question, how do we make our brain look better? Okay. So those are good points you're bringing up, Richard. Any other points you want to bring up? Thank you.
I think this is really a good sign that the poisons are being taken out of the food for the first time in a long time in the U.S., and the rest of the world could be inspired by that.
Well, I'm going to just put it another way. First of all, we want to eat organic food. It needs to be 100% because pretty much all the foods that are commercial have a lot of different, you know, toxins in them.
Right.
Okay, like glycophosphates and so forth.
Yes.
I also want to make the point, New Zealand and U.S. are the two countries that are putting a lot of this stuff into the food. You see what I mean? It's not happening in Europe. Europe has other problems, but they're not. They're pretty particular about what goes into the foods. And I know that's also true in Russia, too. Russia has the highest amount of organic food intake, I believe. So the U.S. is really one of the, if not the worst, country for toxins in the food.
Yeah, and that's how you address now.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Europe is much stricter about what's allowed in the food. I don't know about all other places. I know Europe is way, way stricter. So people know, okay? As I say, the only two countries that allow a lot of these things to be put in these additives and all that is just the U.S. and New Zealand. I have no idea what the problem is in New Zealand. I've been to New Zealand. I don't understand because they're really trying to think in a clean way. But the best I could do for New Zealand is see that somehow the pharmaceuticals got hold of food production at an earlier stage. I mean, you get plenty of organic food in New Zealand, so it's not like you can't eat all organic. That's not a problem. And they have all organic restaurants and things like that. But what I'm saying is it's still there. And somehow the government got infiltrated about, making money off junk food.
Right. Yeah, there's also people that are saying that organic is not really being followed, so it doesn't matter. And I think that's a big mistake.
It's a huge mistake because, yes, it may not be perfect, and I think it isn't. But it's a lot better. It's a total amount. So, you know, commercial food has a lot more toxins in it than organic food, which may have some.
Yeah, for weed killers and other chemicals.
Yeah, and also if you get organic food from locally grown, here where we live, we get it from a Swiss guy who's like super strict, okay? And it's completely organic. Okay, there's no like, well, we can add a little bit. You know, that's what people are talking about. Guy's super strict. So our organic food is locally grown. I mean, it's in a few miles of here, and super strict. You know, kind of a Swiss super strictness, which is a good thing when you talk about organic food.
Something to look for everybody's area.
Yeah. You have to find growers who take it real seriously. They're trying to just make money off a commercial while we're organic.
Right.
But not really being organic.
Now, you've got a meeting coming up, I know, Gabriel. So if you want to wrap it up, we want you to.
Oh, good. So I want to bless everybody with, just having this awareness, because we have to protect our brain function. Obviously, our body function, our heart function, but, usually we're talking about heart or pancreas, but now we're talking about brain function. So it is really important to take this seriously and even do the basics. Beyond the supplements, meditate, exercise, fast. These are basics that seriously make a difference. Okay, may everyone be blessed. Richard, it's good working with you as usual. And Doug, thank you for behind the scenes. And peace be with you.
Thank you, Gabriel. Great reminders. And for everybody to remember that it's important what you do with your own body, because that's the instrument that you have to be a light in the world, to spread for world peace that we talk about. And no way to overestimate how important you are in spreading that light. So thank you, Gabriel, and thank you to Doug, and thank you to everyone for listening. And we'll look forward to seeing you again next time. Take care. Have a good day.